Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, November the 6th. And today we'll be chatting with our friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas. The number one topic, I think, for all of us interested on the Mexican-U.S. border is what just happened about 100 miles south of the border, where there was a massacre. I mean, that's the only way to describe it. It was a massacre. Now, the details of it, exactly what was behind it, we'll talk a little bit tonight with George about that. I've heard all kinds of different theories coming out of Mexico that it was a mistake, that they thought that these people were involved in the drug business themselves and ended up, in a sense, shooting these innocent people by mistake. I mean, that's the story that seems to be going around in Mexico. That story makes sense if you know what's happening in Mexico, and that is these ambushes and these deadly fights between cartels are happening every day. We hear about this terrible massacre, but if you are following Mexico like I do, and I'm sure George does too, this is a lot more common than people realize. After all, the country is setting a record when it comes to homicides, and a lot of it is cartel versus cartel, territorial fights, as well as, innocent people who just get caught up in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place, and there you are in the middle of a shootout. So a lot to get into tonight with our friend George Rodriguez. George, welcome, and I think we're supposed to get rain tonight, and maybe as always happens, you get what we had. So maybe you'll get rain in the next 24 hours, George.
We're supposed to, get a cold front that's supposed to come through. So I'm not sure if we're going to get very much rain, but it is supposed to get cooler tomorrow, or colder in our case.
Oh,
yeah,
that's great. We are supposed to get cooler too on Thursday evening, or Thursday afternoon into Thursday evening. And by the way, speaking of Thursday, I just wanted to remind everyone we're going to do another show on Mexico on Thursday evening, and I'm not 100% certain yet on the guest, but it's going to be an independent journalist from Mexico, so I'll have more details over the next few hours. Hopefully by tomorrow morning we'll firm up the guest, and because we're going to be looking at Mexico from the Mexican perspective, which is of course very, very interesting. Well, George, this massacre down in Mexico, pretty shocking. But I want to put it into a little bit of context here, George. You know, because you follow Mexico quite closely, this happens there's been a 30-day period of some pretty incredible things happening in Mexico. Number one, you had this confrontation between the military and the cartels in Culiacán, where the cartels basically forced the Mexican government to surrender El Chapo's son, one of the two sons. This is also coming on top of a record homicide year for Mexico. I mean, it's the death people in Mexico are just all over. So now comes this terrible massacre. So, you know, as I mentioned in the introduction, it's a terrible massacre because it involves Americans, obviously, and women and children. But George, this is happening down there every single day, and it's horrible. I was just talking just this evening. I was just talking to a young woman who's in my class from Mexico, and she was telling me how dangerous it is now to drive to Mexico. I mean, people who live here, who very often go to Mexico for the holidays, Christmas especially, they're having second thoughts about driving, George. I mean, that's the reality, George.
Yeah, it's it has gotten very, very dangerous. I mean, there are a lot of folks here in San Antonio that are families of people, of business folks that live in Monterrey that have relocated their families up here to San Antonio because, you know, of the fear of kidnappings, of the fear of the shootings and the shootouts. And it has just gotten out of control. Now, you know, this whole story, this whole incident that occurred with this family is very close to me because, first of all, because I am Mormon, and then secondly, because I served our mission in Mexico, and I knew a lot of the folks, I know a lot of the families that that were born and raised down there in Mexico, like the Romneys. You know, the Romneys' own family, his father was born here, the former Secretary of HUD. His father was born down there in the colonies in Mexico. So it was very, very interesting. At the same time, you know, a lot of these friends of mine that lived down there, because most of them have, a lot of them have moved north into the United States as well because of safety aspects of it. But, you know, these folks, they have had a tenuous, a very, very slight dealing or treaty, should I say, a peace treaty with bandits in the past. I mean, even Pancho Villa raided the colonies way back then in the early 1900s. So they've lived with that kind of violence in the past. However, it has never been as bad as it is now. Now it's like guerrilla warfare. Now it is, you know, it's like Afghanistan. I mean, the number of murders that are going on in Mexico is incredible. It's incredible. You know, of course, the history, the people the folks, the victims in this case, are polygamists. I mean, they are an offshoot of the Mormon Church, and one of the reasons that they live down in Mexico is because they want to be out of the reach of the federal government or the state governments that prohibit polygamy. So, you know, they're down there because of freedom of religion issues. But now they've, you know, now they're having to confront this whole situation of the violence. And once it's happened, you're right. I mean, you know, this whole situation with the son of El Chapo, Mexico set a very poor precedent in dealing with that, man. They did terrible, terrible disservice to law and order by releasing him. And now I think that it's emboldened to these people. It's emboldened for the cartels.
Yeah. Well, this is, of course, I wrote a post today over at the American Thinker where I talk about, you know, the whole strategy of López Obrador likes to call it hugs instead of bullets, something like that. And that's, you know, that's the popular, you know, that's the popular, you know, expression, hugs instead of bullets. And there is a, you know, my post basically says, you know, these hugs versus bullets is getting, you know, it's just getting a lot of people killed. It's getting people killed in Mexico. I mean, this is no longer, you know, a theoretical thing. You know, this is now a question of, you know, you're getting people killed in Mexico. There is a, you know, there's a, you know, just a, it seems like one after another, all the homicides that we're hearing about Mexico. So I think not only has this tragedy shaken up American public opinion, because of course we, you know, we see the emotional end of it, you know, the shooting of these children, obviously. But I think it has shaken up Mexican public opinion, because I think there are a lot of Mexicans that are telling me, you know what, this this strategy, maybe this is not the best strategy, George. You know, the idea that, you know, we have now gone through a few strategies to combat these cartels. The first one was, of course, in the administration of Calderon, President Felipe Calderon, who came in 2000, I think that would have been 2007, yeah, 2007 when he came in. And he took a firm stand. You know, he threw the army at the cartels, and, you know, they had some success, at least eliminating heads of cartels, but obviously the business is still going. Then came, you know, Peña Nieto, whose strategy was more of a, you know, let's make the police better. We cannot use the military to do all of these things. And frankly, that strategy makes a lot of sense, too, because you're stretching your armed forces, you know, keeping them basically in an ongoing war. The example you used of Afghanistan is exactly right. I mean, you got these troops that are constantly fighting. And, you know, at some point you wear out your army. And now you have the approach of López Obrador, who, you know, he's focusing more. He says, we got to focus on the poverty. And that's okay, too. I understand that. But, I'm, you know, what just happened in Culiacan, that had nothing to do with poverty. What just happened with these young...
That's exactly
yeah,
right.
I mean, what these happened with these families had nothing to do with... I mean, this is just outright, you know, this is Chicago 1930 stuff. You know, people
exactly
fighting
right.
each other. And you're going to have to do something, as we did when the FBI basically went after these elements and said, we're going to eliminate you in the 1930s. So... So anyway, it's just a terrible situation. And
I really do believe, Silvio, that what we've got in Mexico, I mean, first of all, Mexico's pride will not let them admit that they are incapable. I'm sorry. The fact is that they are incapable of addressing this problem. The corruption is so ingrained and so deep at this point that, you know, everybody's on the take, and it's going to be very, very difficult. It's going to be very, very difficult for them to uproot and to apply law and order, a law and order approach. However, there is no real punishment at this point. There is no real punishment for these cartels. No one is really – they punish each other, but there is no application of law and order. There is no civility in the matter. And, you know, at this point, one thing is for American intervention, for us to talk about American intervention into the Middle East or someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard a lot of people in the past couple of days, you know, saying, no, we can't get involved in another war and another part. This is not another. This is next door. This is completely different from going and invading Iraq. This is completely different than going and doing a surgical strike, you know, in Ethiopia or something. This is something that's right next door, and it needs to be addressed because it's affecting us already. I mean, there was already one shootout. There was a guy killed on Friday right here at our border in New Mexico. A guy tried to run and then pulled a gun on the Border Patrol officers. The Border Patrol officers returned fire and killed him. It's already starting to happen. It's starting to happen, and it's going to escalate. It's starting. We've had Border Patrol agents shot at from the Mexican side. I myself was with a Fox crew about a month ago down in Del Rio, and I was with the rancher, the landowner, and as soon as the Border Patrol left, the convoy of the Border Patrol left, and he and I were just standing there, just all of a sudden out of the bushes, about six guys appeared with guns on the other side, you know, staring at us, and it is scary. It is very, very scary, very frightening. And we've got to, you know, Mexico is incapable of addressing it. But I don't know how we can get involved, given that Mexico is so prideful and so antagonistic towards our involvement. The other thing, and let me finish real quick here. The other thing is that I find it very suspicious that within 24 hours after President Trump said, let us go in there, we'll clean it up for you, that all of a sudden they arrested some guy.
Right.
I mean,
I've heard all kinds. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish, George. I'm sorry.
I just found it to be very, very strange and odd that, you know, they can't. They have a hard time in finding people usually, and in this case, all of a sudden they found somebody real quick. Yeah. They were able to arrest somebody.
Right.
I just found that strange.
No, I agree with you. That was, as they always like to say, funny timing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Very funny timing. But at the same time, I don't think that whoever they found, again, and this is all developing, it's all happening as we speak, so hopefully a lot of this will be more clear on Thursday night when we speak with someone in Mexico. But the one thing that I heard is that this was not a big time operator, the one they captured. But
exactly.
As far as President Trump, I think, you know, he has every right to say, hey, look, you know, these are American nationals and they're being killed. Mexico, at the same time, doesn't want to have American troops. But see, I don't think it has to be. I don't think American troops have to go into Mexico or very deep into the country. What we can do is identify where some of these people are and basically use superior technology to take them out.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And now one of the things that President Trump can do, it's an option that he has. He hasn't done it, but it's an option that he has, is to declare these cartels terrorist organizations. Once he does
that,
then they're no different than Al-Qaeda or ISIS, and you can use your executive military authority as president to order, let's say, a strike. I don't know of anybody who wants to send American troops into war, but I wouldn't mind having a couple of F-16s and some helicopter gunships take out entire settlements and say,
exactly.
Okay, here they are. Here's a bunch of them here. We can see them through our ability to see these people through satellites or whatever. Here they are. They're having a meeting or whatever. Just take out the place.
Exactly.
You know, take it out.
Exactly.
And
the terrorist cells in the Middle East, it certainly could be done with these terrorists.
Exactly. You don't even have to put American troops, or you don't even need an aircraft in Mexico to do that. You can take them out from a ship in the Gulf of Mexico or in the Pacific. I mean, these missiles are very precise, and you can fire them from a ship, or you can fire them from Texas or whatever. But yes, I do think something like that, because you're exactly right. This is now this is a problem. Mexico is a problem right now. You cannot dispute that. And I think something has to be done.
Many Americans that are expatriates that live down there.
Yes.
So many of them in Guadalajara and in Guanajuato. Mm-hmm. You know, there are so many that live down there. The other thing is that there are so many, American interests down there, students,
right.
Missionaries, all sorts of folks, that we have. I mean, this is, there are so many Americans in Mexico, and if now the act of terrorism, because that's all it is, an act of terrorism, an act of just frightening people so that they can come back and shake them down for money later on, if this is going to become, the norm, then, we can't allow this to happen. We cannot allow.
No, I'm with you 100%. I believe very strongly that something has to happen. And my guess, and we'll find out more when we talk to someone down in Mexico, but my guess is that public opinion in Mexico is also interested in taking a tough hand against these really terrorists. That's what they are. They're terrorists. These are, we call them cartels, but they're really terrorist organizations. They're terrorizing much of Mexico, and people down there are just as fed up as we are. George, let me take a quick break, and then we'll be back with our friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Just a quick promotion here for my good friend Carlos Geddes. We get to hear his music on the show, and he's been playing around town quite a bit, and we have a link to his schedule. So if you are in the Dallas area, you want to learn more about Carlos. He's a great musician from Venezuela, and if you can get your hands on his CD, it's really a good collection of music. Let's get back to our friend George Rodriguez. George, in all fairness, just a couple of things, not to disagree with you, but just to put a couple of ideas on the table. In all fairness, the cartels have not been targeting Americans. I mean, for example, they've avoided violence. I mean, there's lots of Americans on the beaches, and they've pretty much stayed away from them. They have not targeted Americans in Guadalajara, like you're saying, or some of these other places. So it's not clear to me that this is a change of strategy where they're going to start targeting Americans. But it may not matter, George, because if Americans feel unsafe in Mexico, I think you're going to see a lot of them react by not going to Mexico, by maybe moving their families out of Mexico. I mean, there's a lot of expatriates, as you say, who work down there. I did that myself in my career. I worked in Mexico City, and I remember, you know, it was a pretty safe place when I was there. I didn't have any concerns. But it seems to me from an economic standpoint that the one thing Mexico doesn't want is for these tourists to say, you know what, we're not going to go to Mexico this year. It's unsafe, and, you know, we don't want to mess with it. That, I think, would be devastating to the Mexican economy, George.
Oh, definitely, definitely. The, you know, there have been shootouts. There have been shootouts at nightclubs in Cancun and a couple of other places that I can't remember that are famous for college kids to hang out. There have been some shootouts at those places. Now, whether or not they were related to the cartels or whether they were just local gangs going after each other, that was one thing. The other thing is that there is a real perception, or there has been a real perception in the past that, you know, Americans were just kind of off limits. Although, you know, there was this tension there that you could feel when I visited some of my friends. There are a lot of Americans of Mexican descent that have been victimized, and that is one of the stories that is not told. Is that because they look Mexican, they are victimized. And people that drive down to that go across to Nuevo Laredo, thinking that, you know, it's just going to be okay. My cousins in Laredo have told me repeatedly that they don't go across the border anymore, but they still have friends that have gone, that have made the mistake and gone across and paid the price. And you know, it's incredible how this thing has, this crime has just spread so much. My grandparents, my parents, including myself, when I was little, we used to go across the border and have dinner, have lunch, go to the bullfights, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, now no one does that. No one does that at all. People come across the border to Laredo to shop and to entertain themselves, but they, you know, about doing anything in Mexico. And the tourist, the impact on tourism is already beginning to be felt. And you're right. I cannot help but feel that it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt.
Right.
I mean, regardless,
it's got to.
How they spin it, it's going to hurt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the problem with something like this is that there's no way you can put a happy face on it.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
I mean, how do you spin something like this? I mean, you can say, well, gee, I mean, I can understand. I mean, look, if this was a car crash, okay, where,
right,
a bunch of people were in a car and they hit another car in a Mexican road. Well, you know, it's a tragedy, of course, but it's a car crash. It's an accident. I mean, those things happen up here, too. But
right,
this was clearly a massacre. And whether it was, I mean, exactly what was behind it, I don't know. I mean, it's still unclear. It's still unclear.
Now,
yeah, let me pursue a couple of things, George, just as of interest, you know, particular contributions that your information that you have that a lot of people don't have. And so let me talk about a couple of things. Number one, religious locations in Mexico. I remember one time going to Ciudad Juarez and then also to Chihuahua City and running into these, I don't think they were Mormons, but I think they were other religious groups who were
there. Yeah, there's some Mennonites that are down there too. That's right. Quaker and Mennonite colony down in Chihuahua, right.
Now, what people used to tell me about these locations is that generally they were basically left, people just kind of left them alone because they really didn't bother anybody. And, you know, they were just on their own and nobody really bothered them and they didn't cause any problems. So, you know, you would see them walking around the city in groups. And, of course, you know, they were very clearly distinguishable because of how they dress. You know, how many of these, for example, how many of these Mormon groups are there in the north of Mexico? I'm just curious. You know about this, so maybe you can give me some idea.
Yeah, there's about 12 of them, maybe 13 or 14 of them. They are, you know, we call them colonies or settlements,
right,
or communities. And they are very, very famous. The history of them was that when the Mormons, of course, moved west to Utah, when Utah came under the federal auspices, when it was going to become a state, getting rid of polygamy was one of the criteria for the Mormon Church. So.
Mm-hmm.
The practice of polygamy was done away with in 1876, and at that time, a lot of the people, rather than break up their families, their polygamous families, a lot of them moved. They cut a deal with Porfirio Diaz, the president of Mexico, and he allowed settlement of all of these colonies in northern part of Mexico, in Chihuahua and Sonora.
Mm-hmm.
And so they lived there quite well until 1898, when the church formally did away with the practice of polygamy. When that happened, there were some that refused to go along with the mainstream of the church, and so they continued to practice polygamy while the mainstream church did away with it and basically excommunicated them. They still continued to practice Mormonism their way. And be identified as Mormons, et cetera, et cetera. There are at least six, seven of those groups, of those colonies there also in the immediate area. And there were some that moved north when the Mexican Revolution started, but because of, again, because of persecution, because they were polygamists and they, you know, the federal laws,
right,
and state laws were against them, they... A lot of them moved back and forth,
Me ask you a question, George, about these individuals. Are they U.S. citizens or are they Mexican citizens? I mean,
they retained all of them. I don't know of any of them that don't. Most of them have retained their both Mexican and U.S. citizenship.
Right.
In fact, again, Gerald Romney
had both.
Mexican and U.S. citizenship.
Exactly. We were talking about George Romney, of course, his father, who ran for president in 68.
That was an issue behind the scenes, I remember.
He was actually born in Mexico.
Yeah,
that's right.
So,
and of course, he was governor, members of the audience who may not know this, George Romney was a very successful car executive in Detroit, and then he ran for governor of Michigan, and then in 68 he ran for president. And you're right, the whole issue of where he was born came up, but it was settled pretty quickly, I guess. It was never a big issue. And then, of course, he joined the Nixon cabinet when Richard Nixon was elected, in 1968. But I think that the question for me is, if you're an American national and you're living in one of these areas, do you expect the United States to protect you, or do you expect Mexico to protect you? I don't know. I mean, I guess you don't expect to be killed like this.
The folks that I knew that had been born in there and raised in Mexico in these colonias, they pretty much considered themselves Mexican first. I mean, you know,
right.
You would look at these guys, and they were really, I mean, they were classical güeros. I mean, you know, classical American Nordic-looking guys. But you know, they would open their mouths, and they spoke better Spanish, and they spoke English with an accent, with a Mexican accent. You know,
exactly,
so it was very, very, you know, they had both citizenship, and they would go back and forth. Now, again.
Right.
Your question, you know, since they are American citizens, what should we do? What can be done? What is expected? Well, I don't know. I think at this point, the expectation has got to be that we defend American citizens, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we don't, I guarantee that these folks, you know, these cartel people, I mean, they have no shame. I mean, you know, when you kill children, for crying out loud, you know, that's on the same scale as these crazies that attacked on 9/11. I mean, it's just insanity that they would kill children.
Okay, George, one more question that I want to get your thoughts on. This is obviously having an impact on the border. Now, we here in Dallas, Texas, we're 500 miles away from the border. We're 600 miles away from El Paso, 450 miles away from Laredo. So, yes, we're in Texas, but we don't have the impact of the border that you would have in San Antonio and some of the other towns. So are people concerned? I mean, well, what are people saying about this latest massacre or the violence in general, George?
Well, you know, what's curious about that is that a lot of them are throwing their hands up and say, finally, you're seeing what we're seeing across the border. I mean, my friend Sheriff Lamb, I can't remember what county it is in Arizona. He was on Fox News this morning as well, and he was talking about the number of times that he hears the shooting across the border on a daily basis, nightly basis. You know, I myself have been in Brownsville and over across the border in Matamoros. You know, you hear it sounds like fireworks, and all it is people just settling scores, and it happens constantly. It happens constantly. The number of folks number of bodies that are found on a regular basis in Matamoros, in Piedras Negras, you know, just buried in shallow graves. It's happening constantly.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, this tragedy hits American families, and everybody goes, oh, my gosh, it's been going on for a long time, and now maybe we will start to address it, because it's happening at our doorstep, and I guarantee it's going to spill over. Again, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday at the gym. He is a Mexican national that lives here, and he brought his family across. He still goes back and forth because his business is there. And I asked him frankly. I said, "Okay, so what happens if one of those cartel guys has brought his family across over here, and somebody comes over here to settle a score because he's over here?" He said,
right.
Well,
no, that's a very good question.
It's probably going to happen.
Probably
going to happen. So we've got. I mean, we have got to get our intelligence going. We've got to do something about stopping these people before they turn our communities into shootouts.
Right. And that's right. And a lot of places on the border are exactly that. I mean, they're very unsafe. I would support one last thought here, George. I think that if you can, you know, sit down with the Mexican government and say, look, you know, we're not going to send troops into Mexico. I know that's a topic that, at least for the time being, would be very touchy political down there. But we're going to take them out from the air, and we're going to use resources without going into Mexican territory. We're going to use resources to take them out. And we can do it with missiles, with you know, from the ocean. We can do it from Texas. And again, this sounds very crazy and far-fetched, but I think you're exactly right. I think you got to deliver a message that, you know, if you kill Americans, there's going to be
a
price.
You pay a price.
To be paid. You pay a price.
Exactly.
And certainly,
if
this had happened in the Middle East, if a bunch of Americans had been killed in the Middle East, I guarantee you there would be a response. I guarantee
right.
you that the country would call for a response.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I mean, this is, you know, this situation where we cannot talk, because this situation, this kind of criminal, they're terrorists. They're not, you know, they're not robbers.
Sure.
They're not, you know, just plain ordinary little petty thieves. No, these are organized terrorists, and you know, they got to be dealt with.
Right. No, this is deadly serious. This is, as you say, this is a deadly serious problem. And if I was living in Mexico, I would clearly support you know, anything, the two countries working together to settle this, because you know, you talk to people, as I said, I was talking to people today at the college, a lot of Mexican nationals, and they're very concerned about their country and the violence and the criminal organizations, as they like to call it, organized crime. George, as always, it's a great honor, a great pleasure to have you. Congratulations on your visit to Fox News. You're probably getting a lot of requests for autographs, I would think, George. You go on Fox News quite often these days.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Okay. But they make you wake up early, right?
Oh, yes. 2:00 in the morning.
So you go to the studio there in San Antonio, and what time do they actually start filming?
Filming at 4:00, 4:30.
Central
and,
time, right?
I am through. I get through because, you know, there's always a chance of adding stuff after the fact, and, you know, just
mm-hmm.
helping out to verify things. I finish up around 7:00 in the morning. And
wow.
On a day like today, when I had to do a live shot, you know, I had to be in there for the makeup.
Yes.
And you know, it was I have been up. I have been awake. I've taken a couple of short naps, but I've been awake since 2:00. So I'm ready.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us. And you know, when you get to be our age, George, we need a lot of makeup.
Tell me about it.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, George. It's always a great honor to have you, and keep up the great work.
Thank you. Have a good one, buddy.
Thank you so much. George Rodriguez, our good friend in South Texas, you know, he's been obviously very active in you know, politics down there and so on. And, of course, with the border, too, and what's happening. I don't know. You always hate to overstate something, but I think this may have been the incident that maybe changed thing, and hopefully will wake up a few people that there is a problem on the border. This is not just politics, American politics. This is a real problem in Mexico, and we cannot fix it ourselves. But we should be sitting down with the Mexican government and see how we can help out. One thing we could do is stop consuming a lot of this stuff, because that's what's funding these cartels. I mean, that's how they get the money from all the stuff we're consuming up here. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.